Good afternoon. It's 3 o'clock. You are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on Monday, the 21st of November, the year 2011. Jeff Brown with you here on a Juneau afternoon. Today we'll talk with Leslie Eakins and Mary Lou King about favorite trails in Juneau. Jan Rumble and Rory Rob will be here to let us check up on next Saturday's Chicks versus Keezers hockey game. We'll learn about the Thanksgiving Day dinner for vets and also about the Title Echoes publication from the University of Alaska Southeast. At Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, Music, and More today on a Juneau afternoon. For the forecast for tonight, the winter weather advisory does remain in effect until 4 p.m. this afternoon. Forecast for tonight, rain and snow in the evening, then a chance of rain and snow later on. Snow accumulation of up to 1 inch is expected.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The U.S. Attorney's Office for Montana announces the creation of the Native Shield Initiative. The initiative is designed to help protect Native women from physical and sexual violence. It encourages the U.S. Attorney's Office to focus on existing federal statutes that give federal jurisdiction to prosecute misdemeanor domestic assaults committed by non-Indians against Indian victims. The U.S. Attorney's Office will help tribal and county law enforcement with training, including investigation and prosecution of crimes against women, and how to submit cases directly to the U.S. Attorney's Office. U.S. Attorney Michael Cotter recently announced the initiative in partnership with tribal and county authorities in Montana. Inspired by a national television story, a Minnesota tribe is working to provide a nicer holiday for people on a South Dakota reservation. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbolt reports.
ABC News followed families on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation for several months and produced a 2020 program on conditions on Pine Ridge. The story inspired the Shakopee Midwakanton tribal community to take action to help people on the Southwest South Dakota Reservation. Tribal members have begun a holiday clothing and toy drive for the people of Pine Ridge. They're collecting toys, clothing of all sizes, and blankets, which will be distributed the first weekend in December. Shakopee Midwakanton Tribal Chairman Stanley Crooks says it's deep in the roots of Dakota people's culture to help others. He adds it's a good lesson for the kids of both tribes. For National Native News, I'm Gary Ellenbold.
The Lower Elwha Klallam Tribe in Washington State is inviting tribal members and the public to discuss Thanksgiving. An open mic session is being held at the tribe's Heritage Training Center. Communications Manager Brenda Francis says there are many different views and feelings that surround the holiday for Native Americans, so they're holding a forum for people to share. The event will include speakers from the Elwha Klallam Tribe, the Macaw Tribe, and the Coeur d'Alene Tribe. The open mic session begins at 6 tonight. Alaska Native people are working to keep their languages alive. Sven Hawkinson is the executive director of the Aleutic Museum in Kodiak.
It's extremely important that we keep it alive. We keep it in, I harp on this, but a living context where we work with our elders and we work with our youth and we speak it. It's a sense of belonging. It's a sense of knowing where our ancestors, where we come from, and it's a way of expressing who we are as a people.
He says there's thousands of years of living knowledge within the language that Native people need to retain and share with the world. He gives an example of Tlingit halibut hooks.
They're beautiful, carved, you know, you look at them, oh, those are nice, but when you actually put them into practice, they're designed to take a specific size halibut, the medium size halibut. They don't take the big halibut for breeders, and they don't take the baby halibuts for growing up. And so we've got ecological knowledge embodied within how you make a halibut. The language, the respect that you give to the animal that's giving itself back to you, the traditional knowledge embodied within the material culture. I mean, all of that is so intertwined, and it just shows the extreme importance of keeping our language alive.
Hawkinson talked about the importance of Native languages recently at a conference in Anchorage, Alaska. During this month in 2008, United Tribes Technical College President Dr. David Gibb was honored by the American Civil Liberties Union for his lifelong commitment to the work of racial justice. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation,
with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
If you are a Native American who was denied a farm loan or loan servicing from the USDA between 1981 and late 1999, you could get a payment of up to $50,000 or more from a $760 million settlement. Claims must be filed by December 27, 2011. Learn about getting free help filing a claim at IndianFarmClass.com or by calling 1-888-233-5506. Paid for by the Keefe-Steagall Settlement Fund.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
'Tis the season at Perseverance Theater with Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Follow the journey of Ebenezer Scrooge as the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future remind him of the true meaning of Christmas. Bring the whole family and celebrate the season with this classic tale. A Christmas Carol runs November 25th through Christmas Eve with a special matinee performance on that day. For more information, visit perseverancetheater.org or call 463-TIXS. Play big at Perseverance Theater.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 21st of November, 2011. It's the birthday of Sir Arthur Quiller Couch, born in Cornwall, 1863. Published fiction, literary criticism, put out an anthology of English verse that was very popular, and is remembered today for his advice to writers. He said, "Whenever you feel an impulse to perpetrate a piece of exceptionally fine writing, obey it wholeheartedly and delete it before sending your manuscript to press. Murder your darlings." Murder your darlings. In other words, to avoid being too precious about your writing and to trust in simplicity and efficiency. It's the birthday of Voltaire, born Paris, 1694, the satirist who came under the influence of freethinkers in his youth and was imprisoned for his writing or sent into exile numerous times. Died a hero in 1778, best known to us for his novel Candide. Voltaire, who said, "If God did not exist, man would have to invent him." He said, "As long as people believe in absurdities, they will continue to commit atrocities." It's the birthday of Isaac Bashevis, singer born in Poland, 1904, came from a family of rabbis, grew up in the Jewish quarter of Warsaw, broke away from his Orthodox upbringing, emigrated to this country in 1935, wrote short stories, dozens of collections of them, and novels, memoirs, many children's books, almost exclusively in Yiddish. And he did it on a Yiddish typewriter that was no longer manufactured, and so there were no spare parts. And it's the birthday of the writer and director Harold Ramis, born in Chicago, 1944, co-wrote a great number of comedies, including National Lampoon's Animal House, Caddyshack, Stripes, Ghostbusters, Groundhog Day, and Analyze This. Here's a poem for today by Mary Mackey, entitled Turkeys. One November, a week before Thanksgiving, the Ohio River froze, and my great uncles put on their coats and drove the turkeys across the ice to Rosa Claire, where they sold them for enough to buy my grandmother a Christmas doll with blue china eyes. I like to think of the sound of 200 turkey feet running across to Illinois on their way to the platter, the scrape of their nails and my great uncles in their homespun leggings calling out gee and haw and git to them as if they were mules. I like to think of the Ohio at that moment, the clear, cold sky, the green river, sleeping under the ice, before the land got stripped and the farm got sold and the water turned the color of whiskey and all the uncles lay down and never got up again. I like to think of the world before some genius invented turkeys with pop-up plastic thermometers in their breasts, idiot birds with no wildness left in them, turkeys that couldn't run the river to save their souls. Turkeys by Mary Mackey, from Breaking the Fever, published by Marsh Hawk Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by Novo Nordisk since 1923, committed to diabetes care and areas of unmet medical needs at novonordisk-us.com. And by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight, nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, How Tomorrow Moves. Produced by Kathy Roach and written by Heather McPherson. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Time is 3:11, and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. First guest in the studio is Jackie Boucher, granddaughter of Red Boucher, who's involved with Tidal Echo. She's a junior, senior at the University of Alaska Southeast. Jackie, thank you very much for being on the station with me today.
Thank you for having me.
So for people who do not know, what is Tidal Echoes?
Tidal Echoes is Southeast Alaska's literary and arts journal. This year is our 10th anniversary edition, so for the past 10 years we've been accepting art and writing from students at the university as well as community members in Southeast.
Do you have a mission statement?
We're really looking to provide a really diverse, creative kind of portrait of Southeast Alaska.
And most submissions come from the students?
25% of the journal is reserved for students. We can have more than that if we need to, but the bulk of our submissions wind up coming from community members in Southeast.
And the deadline is coming up for the next issue?
It is. It's December 1st.
And what kind of guidelines do you have for people who are interested in submitting something?
If someone is looking to submit writing, we can submit 15 double-spaced pages of prose or 5 poems. And then for artwork, we are looking for up to 5 pieces of art in just about any conceivable medium.
Cool. And it's available for sale after it gets put together, is that true?
Yes, that's true. We'll have a launch on April 20th this year, and so that will be at the university. And so we'll have readings from our featured writer and our featured artist, which this year our featured writer is Kim He Cox, and our featured artist is Patrice Helmar. She's a Juno photographer. She's wonderful. And then after that, the journals will go on sale in the UAS bookstore and at Hearthside Books for $5.
How do the featured artists and writers get chosen?
We have communications with them throughout the year. Usually, as the fall intern, was able to have a little bit of a hand in picking the featured artist this year. Emily Wall, the journal's faculty director, and I got together and went through sort of a list of possible candidates, and we decided on him together. So it was an honor to get to be a part of that process.
You read an issue from the past, and you could read something from it, please?
Sure. I have a poem here that is by Richard Dauenauer. It's called Red Dogs and Onions. I think of Liberace playing to casino crowds to make a living, and our local cronies, competent musicians all, inspired composers, donning summer garters, masks of gold rush drama, playing on the sawdust floors, as general practitioners of song, dosing out scandal to waves of aging tourists, deposited to ply Alaskan streets by shiploads, as much as they can take, or as their needs require, where sleaze becomes nostalgia for a reinvented past.
And that's from the latest issue?
Yes, that is from last year's edition.
What's the process when somebody turns in a piece of artwork or an essay or a poem?
Well, when someone turns in a piece of work, we have a review board, which is 13 faculty members, students, and community members who all get together to score the pieces based on what they feel certain criteria and just sort of how they feel it would fit within the larger journal. And so then in about mid-March, we send out emails to people letting them know that they've been selected.
But how many copies get printed?
That's a good question. I believe last year we had about 400 copies.
Cool. The deadline again is?
December 1st.
December 1st. And how can people contact you if they have questions or would like to submit something?
The best way to contact us is via email. It's Tidal Echoes. That's T-I-D-A-L Echoes, E-C-H-O-E-S, at uas.alaska.edu. And also, if you search for Tidal Echoes on either Facebook or Twitter, we are there as well.
All right, Jackie Boucher from Tidal Echoes, thank you for coming down to the station. Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
I don't think so. Thank you so much.
There's the Boston Symphony Chamber Players from a brand new CD that just came in the station doing a piece by Maurice Ravel. In the studio with us now is Keith Wertheimer from the Eagles and also the Elks, here to talk about a Thanksgiving dinner for vets they've been organizing with their other fraternal organizations. Keith, thank you for coming down the station today.
Thank you for having me, Jeff. What we're doing is we're trying to get vets to show up for free dinner. We're focusing on vets from current engagements, Iraq and Afghanistan, and their families. And what's happening is the Moose Lodge is going to provide, they're having a Thanksgiving dinner from 1 to 4 on Thursday, the 24th. And the Elks Lodge, the Scottish Rites Masons, Filipino Community Hall, and the Eagles, we're sponsoring up to 60 available tickets, first come, first serve. And this is Veterans Month, and this is just a token of our appreciation for all the veterans and all the women and men who have served our country.
Thank you for doing this. How does it work? How do people contact you?
They can contact me by phone on my cell phone at 209-4813, or they can email me at badtothebone17@hotmail.com.
And it's first come, first serve?
Yes, it is. We're primarily looking for vets from current engagements, but any veterans who have active or retired who have served our country, and also veterans of foreign wars. This is, like I said, it's just a token of our appreciation and a thank you from all these organizations that are sponsoring this.
As long as you're in the studio, could you tell me a little bit about the Eagles?
The Eagles Lodge 4200 is a fraternal organization, and basically our motto is people helping people. We're a social club, but we also like to give back to our community through various charities. We're involved in charitable organizations, and we're also involved in our own charities. And we have a large number of veterans that belong to the Eagles.
What kind of things have you done in your recent past?
Well, in 2004, we donated playground equipment for Twin Lakes Project. Our auxiliary, our ladies' auxiliary, is right now, both the fraternity and the auxiliary donated money to turkey baskets for Thanksgiving through St. Vincent de Paul. We're also involved, we will also be involved in raising money for the elderly up at Wildflower through raising for Christmas gifts for the folks up there. We're involved in all kinds of community charities and events.
And you're treasurer of the Elks Hall?
Yes, I am. I'm the treasurer of the Elks Lodge 420. We're currently homeless, but we're without a home lodge, but we are building a new lodge in the valley out at Valley Paint and redoing that building out there. Our old building was downtown. We are the oldest fraternity in the state of Alaska, the Juneau Lodge 420.
So let's recap this a little bit. You're giving a Thanksgiving dinner for the first 60 vets who give you a call, and
Absolutely. Veterans and their immediate families. We're just trying to say thank you for all their fine service to our country.
And again, how can people get in touch with you, Heath?
They can get in touch with me on my cell phone, 209-4813, or they can email me. I'm badtothebone17@hotmail.com.
And Keith Wertheimer, thank you for coming down and talking about what your great things you're doing here for the capital city and our veterans. Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
No, sir, I don't think so. Thank you very much, Jeff, for having me in here today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for our health, thanks for our heart, and the bounty that grows from the ground. With our loved ones near, we bless the year that's brought us safely round. Now we are shoppers, we drive to the market. The farm seems a light year away. Still every November we pause to remember that time-honored old-fashioned day. Thanks for our health, thanks for our heart, and the bounty that grows from the ground. With our loved ones near, we bless the year that's brought us safely round. Everything changes, yes, even Thanksgiving. Let's rededicate this old day to helping the hungry, the poor, and the homeless, so all may be able to say, thanks for our time, thanks for our heart, and the bounty that grows from the ground. With our loved ones near, we bless the year that's brought us safely round. With our loved ones near, bless the year that's brought us safely round.
Don't worry if you eat too much this Thanksgiving. The traditional Thanksgiving Friday Barn Dance gives you a chance to dance those excess calories off and extend holiday visiting with more friends and neighbors. It happens Friday, November 25th, 7:30 p.m. at St. Anne's Parish Hall downtown. Juno's Impromptu, led by Mike Sicarius' Hammer Dulcimer, will provide live music, and Tom Paul will teach and call conference square dances. You don't need experience or partner to have a good time. Free for SAG and JVs, discounts for students and seniors. Don't miss the Thanksgiving Barn Dance.
Broadcast support comes from McDonald's, now serving holiday treats. Eggnog shakes, peppermint mochas, and peppermint hot chocolate. McDonald's is open daily in the Valley except Thanksgiving and Christmas Day.
This is Bird Note. As you stand in the autumn woods, a red-breasted nuthatch calls while it hangs upside down on a pine cone, deftly removing the fat, rich seeds. Nearby, several black-capped chickadees inspect leaves and twigs for small insects or cocoons. A chattering ruby-crowned kinglet hovers at a branch tip, and a petite downy woodpecker whinnies. And they're all close at hand. This noisy flurry of small birds is a mixed-species flock, foraging and moving together in fall and winter. With the nesting season past, some small birds join forces. These loose associations can include a dozen species and more than 50 individuals. More watchful eyes mean better detection of predators, allowing each bird to spend more time feeding. And more individuals searching improve the odds that a rich feeding area will be found. In much of North America, black-capped chickadees lead in forming such flocks, and, should a hawk be sighted, whistle an alarm call that the other species understand. If you'd like to learn more about the birds in your area, begin with a visit to our website, birdnote.org. I'm Mary McCann.
bring you.
Time is 3:42 and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Some music from Sharon Isbin. In the studio with us now are some chicks and some, actually a chicken and some geezers here, but we're getting ready for the 8th annual Chicks versus Geezers hockey game. Jen Rumble, Rory Watt, and also Joe Geldof, thank you for coming into the station today.
Thanks. Just to clarify, Rory is not as old as he might look. Yes, he's just he's here to just add some information, and he will be a geezer at some point, but not yet.
Nice to be here, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So this is the 8th annual Chicks versus Geezers hockey game. How did it start, Joe?
Well, it started right about the time we opened the rink in Douglas, the Treadwell Arena, in 2003, and there was a lot of activity to get hockey up and going. And at some point, some of the snappy younger gals were making fun of the older guys, including Bill Spear and Steve Woods, a lot of people. And there got to be this friendly banter, which turned into sort of a Billie Jean King, Bobby Riggs, okay, let's lay it on down. You know, what are the rules here? And then the women said, well, we could pound it on you old guys, you know. So anybody over 50 was invited to skate with the geezers, and the young guns in the female category, who called themselves the chicks, that wasn't a guy's thing. They showed up on ice, and they had wonderful costumes, and they were disorganized because they overanalyzed everything, and they lost the first time. But eventually they started whipping it on the guys, and it's gone back and forth over the years. But I think it's been seven times of playing the over 50 men versus the any woman. And it's been a really good competitive thing, and it's evolved into a fundraiser for some activity. One time we did Girls on the Run, and it's a really nice tradition. We hope everybody comes out this Saturday for this fundraiser.
Yeah, we've done things like we supported some shoveling equipment for to help Mark Skolten with the ice at Twin Lakes. And the Culture Club, which was a program for playing hockey, introducing hockey to middle school kids, which Tom McKenna helped run. So there's been a variety of things that we've supported with the money that we raised from this charity event.
So who's won more games, the chicks or the geezers?
Well, it looks like from what I've written here that the geezers are up 4-3, but
that's
I don't
correct.
Know. I'm not sure. There's no real written record.
What would qualify as one to be a geezer? Is it just being over 50 years old, or do they have to act like a geezer too?
Well, no, they have to be over 50, and they have to be thoughtful, intelligent, and kind.
I'm really sure that's not true, but whatever.
What, over 50
from
is certainly true.
Previous participants.
You know, the poster talks about talking trash. Are you a trash talker?
Yes, I am. Yep. And so's Joe. Yeah, so.
You could have a little sample of trash now.
No, I don't think it was meant for radio, Jeff. Remember, I have to be clean now.
Well, let's be realistic here. I mean, Molly Box practically put Bill Spear in the hospital one year.
And she's one of our chicks.
You know, and she's a good player and everything, but she's kind of uber competitive. And there she is running around doing circles around Bill Spear, and he got so dizzy that he fell to the ice and had to be helped off.
I think she's had some awards for her choice of language as well.
All over town. But I would like to say that our defense this year has a nickname, and we call them the Wall. So we're expecting some good, at least, defense. We'll see how that goes.
How many people are on each team?
Well, Joe never knows how many people are going to be on his team because they just come out of the woodwork and show up with their gear.
No, mostly they come out of clinics and hospitals.
And I have a set roster of, we have 14 gals participating, so.
And they usually import people from Whitehorse and all these ringers from out of town.
It's a local game. Everyone's local. Joe, a couple years ago, brought in some ringers who had played in like a minor league hockey down, and they were from Petersburg, and we had to call him on that. So we made him commit to a local team.
Yes, there was some screeching about some of the players, so we were limiting it just to people who live here, over 50, and Janice said, and they can't be very good because we need to win desperately for this fundraiser.
That's a fundraiser for the Warming Hut at Twin Lakes for the Junk Wood Warming Hut. Do you want to talk about that, Rory?
Yeah, you bet. It's something that we've got an ad hoc group of people working on, and in John's memory, we're looking to raise money and build a warming hut that could be used in the winter for ice skating, obviously, but also be a summer facility. The details are being worked on. We don't have an exact plan, but We've raised a considerable amount of money, and we have a lot of momentum, and we're doing preliminary planning. We're really excited to get some more funds from this event. Certainly outside skating was something John was always very enthusiastic about, and I think it's a great thing to do in his remembrance.
And where would the set be?
We think near the ramp down to the lake, so near the dock and on the shore, next to the area that's popularly used for skating and hockey games.
So, Jan, with the advanced age of the geezers, are you going to take it easy on them?
No, actually, not at all. No, I think they've had some good recruitment. I've actually had to guide some new players to Joe as the captain. And, you know, I think that every year with people skating more, they're getting better. Hopefully we're getting better, too. We've had some an influx of gals from Minnesota come, and specifically Lane and Jill, two of our defensemen. And so we're pretty happy about defense women. So we're pretty happy about that recruitment for us. So, and hopefully they'll stick around for years to come.
And the puck drops this Saturday at 8:15 at the Treadwell Arena. Is there an admission charge? Or just
there's no admission charge, but we will have people going around collecting as much money as people would like to give, and it will go to John's warming hut on Twin Lakes, and also to cover the cost of the ice.
And Jeff, for those of your listeners who maybe don't know who John Cowett was, he was a wonderful guy who unfortunately is no longer with us in Juneau. He left behind a family, but he was a big participant in outdoor ice as well as indoor ice. And he was always out on Twin Lakes, shoveling the snow, helping kids put on their skates, playing hockey until the last kid wanted to leave. And this is a really good thing to, in his memory, have a warming hut that we can use out by Twin Lakes for outdoor skating, because we are a community that's not just Treadwell Arena indoor skating. We're going to try to maintain our outdoor skating presence when the weather's good.
And we have. The last couple of days, we've skated on the Pioneer Home little lake there on Saturday, and yesterday South Twin Lakes, and today I heard a group of people went out and shoveled the snow on the South Twin Lake, so it should be ready for skating tomorrow.
So we're calling on all of you folks who want just entertainment, or, you know, aging hippies and feminists who just want to see a bunch of young gals whip it on a bunch of old, decrepit guys. Come on out this Saturday at, 8:30?
8:15, Joe.
8:15. And watch a bunch of guys get humiliated for a good cause.
There will be a lot of decorations on our side. I'm not sure what the geezers are going to wear. Probably some walkers and canes. So, but we guarantee that it'll be a sight to see on the ice.
All right, Barry Watt, John Joe Gildoff, and also Jen Rumble, thank you for coming down to the station and talking about the Rehick, the Chicks versus Geezers hockey game, 8:15 at the Treadwell Arena. If people need more information, how can they find out about it?
They can contact Jan Rumble at 321-1569.
All right, anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
No, thank you for K2 letting us tell people about things going on in Juneau.
I am Spirit of Youth.
I am Spirit of Youth.
I am Spirit of Youth.
I am a leader.
Volunteer.
I give back to my community.
Culture, science,
business, race.
I am Spirit of Youth.
I am Spirit of Youth.
Here's my story.
Here are stories.
Tucked away in the Fairbanks City Hall building, teenage volunteers are hard at work at the offices of the North Star Youth Court. This juvenile diversion program offers select teen offenders the chance to be held accountable for their actions in a courtroom manned by true peers. This court is one of a dozen like it across the state and serves the North Star Borough. Program Director Angela Bingley works closely with the teens.
Take a mixture of real cases from the Fairbanks Youth Facility, misdemeanor cases, and also minor consuming cases from the district court system. And they actually take over those cases on behalf of the Fairbanks and surrounding areas of Fairbanks. We take cases of 12 to 18-year-olds, first-time offenders, and all of our youth volunteers are 12 to 18 years old.
14-year-old Eric Gunlow has earned a spot on the judge's bench after working first as an attorney. He says being a youth court volunteer is important to him.
When I was little, I used to kind of be a bully, and, you know, as time progressed, I wasn't really too proud of that. And, you know, now going through youth court, I have something good to look upon. I really feel it's helped me develop a sense of character and, you know, a sense of justice. It's really turned me into a good gentleman, made me much more sociable. I can talk to people without stumbling as much. And that's made me an excellent public speaker.
Eric and his teen colleagues give a lot of their time to the cases they accept and the extensive training they get to ensure they provide fair and effective restorative justice. I'm Shanna Sheehy.
I am a teenager.
I am an Alaskan. I give back.
Do you see me?
Recognize youth, ages 12 to 19, at spiritofyouth.org.
Provided by the Alaska State Division of Behavioral Health.
Tune in with me, Angelina, your host of Tideline, this Wednesday, 5 to 7, as I kick it with local musicians Fire on the Guinness. That's Wednesday, 5 to 7 on KRNN.
Don't you abuse it.
I gave you tender loving care. Oh, baby, now don't you misuse it. Girl, and if you got somebody, yeah, if you got somebody else on your mind, I want you to please, 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 baby, let me down.
From Etta James, the time is 3:58, and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTUO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley and Ock Bay area, tuned to K276 AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220 BT serves Hoonah at 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait, you can hear KTUO on K210 AS 89.9. And in Juneau, you can also receive KTUO on GCI Cable Juneau on digital channel 871. KRNN can be heard at digital channel 872, and KXLL can be found at 873. We're also live online at www.ktuo.org. You can catch archive programs of the Juneau Afternoon at that location as well. Tomorrow at 3 on Juneau Afternoon, Pat Moore will be your host. He'll talk with people from Perseverance Theater's upcoming production of A Christmas Carol. Dr. Bob Urata will be here to talk about the medical aspects of hospice care. Filmmaker Greg Cheney will be here to talk about Wednesday's screening of Journey on the Wild Coast, the Colton Nickelodeon. We'll also find out what's happening with the Juneau Douglas High School basketball with head coach Robert Kasperson. That's that writer's almanac, Bird Note Music, and more tomorrow at 3 on a Juneau afternoon. Winter weather advisory has been canceled with rain likely this evening south of Juneau. Otherwise, light snow in Juneau. Snow accumulation up to 1 inch expected. Forecast for Tuesday looks like snow showers are likely on Tuesday night. More snow with mixing with rain in the evening. The forecast for Wednesday looks like snow and rain likely with high temperatures around 34 degrees. So anyway, next is All Things Considered. Thank you for tuning in to Juneau Afternoon today. Have a great evening. Drive carefully and walk carefully. You're taking advantage of me, baby. Because you know I've been a fool. I've been a fool for you. If you got somebody, if you got somebody, if you got someone else on your mind.